this is Mark, and you're listening to The Husband Did It. I am on with my co-host, Lindsay, capital L. What's going on?
Not much. Excited to learn more about the mob / mafia.
Yeah, well, you know, there is a big difference, of course.
Yeah, I Googled it. I gave it a Goog.
I think of the word mob as really any type of, like, if you watch a Western, all of a sudden there's something going on, the mob forms, you know?
Yes.
I think a mob can be any group of rowdy people.
I get that, and I understand that now, whereas the mafia is specifically the Italian-American organized crime.
So back in the olden days, and we're going to get to discussing the actual case.
Of course.
But, Rosedale is brought up in our research artificially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not, though, because I think there is a connection. But they used to call Rosedale Mobsdale.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, back in the 60s and 70s, they used to like graffiti it, believe it or not.
And, I mean, I believe it. It's not really, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's one of those open secrets that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to get into Snake Road if you're familiar with, if you're a Five Towns person or even, I guess, Eastern Queens, you might have heard of Snake Road near JFK Airport. We're going to get deeply into that. Mentioned in a lot of different mob books and still there, and they just found the body there a little over a year ago.
Yeah, a little over a year ago.
Kind of funny. Someone had a bad night. That's awful. That is terrible. But we're talking about Andrew Currow. We have a vowel at the end of his last name, and that's a little bit nerve-wracking for me because I have a vowel at the end of my last name, and I don't want to like piss off a paisan.
That's just true, but you know what? That's kind of what we're here for.
It's what we're here for. We're not going to be saying anything that's untrue.
Nope. All facts. It's well all documented. Facts.
Because we don't even know if Andrew Currow is still alive.
We don't know where he is. No, I tried really hard.
He might be building that house right next to yours.
That would explain a lot, actually. That would explain why it has to be up on stilts.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, you meet people and the name is Andrew and it's like, huh? And Five Towns does tend to gravitate, you know, does attract these people for some reason. Yes. Don't know why.
Doesn't and by sense. These people, you mean to imply
criminals.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same
murderers, criminals, degenerates.
Yeah.
My words.
This is true.
So I'm sure Andrew's probably a lovely guy. But
we should talk about him as if he is, just to be sure.
So he had a girlfriend named April Ernst, probably not of Ernst & Young.
No, I don't think so.
But you never know. But April was 19 years old, right?
And she disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was 27.
Yes.
It's a little bit of an age difference, but at least it's, you know, it's legal. Right.
I mean, I guess. It was the 80s. Wasn't everything legal back then?
I don't know. I know you didn't have to wear a seatbelt. I know in the drinking age was 18.
Exactly.
So dating a 19-year-old and going out to like different bars and things like that was not completely out of the question because it was legal. Like really legal.
Yeah, like technically legal. Yeah.
There was a connection with April Ernst to that car place, but I couldn't find that connection, so I don't know if that's just lore. So but we'll get to that a little bit too, because I kind of dug up an interesting person to bring up
them,
but not really criminality, but just kind of an interesting person. But yeah, so she was last seen in the early morning hours in a Brooklyn nightclub called Scandals.
I love that name for a nightclub. But remember in the 80s, they all had like one name, you know, one name clubs.
Scandals. Yeah. And it's like Smoke Machine, you know, and it's like,
you got it.
You go in there, you know, and you walk into that place and everybody's smoking.
Yeah. The 80s.
Yeah, it was the 80s. So, yeah, they were in Brooklyn, Scandals. I picture Scandals to be just like a real, I don't know, maybe it wasn't a bad nightclub. I was going to say kind of like a gross place, but I've been to my fair share of Brooklyn nightclubs in the 80s, but not like these type of
things. Have you, Mark? I couldn't imagine that.
Like rock clubs, you know, like.
Oh, that I can imagine.
Yeah, like a little more east, which is essentially, it's in a total Italian neighborhood. And I could share a crazy story about how I thought we were going to get killed one night when my friend smashed into these two guys who basically seemed like they might have been Andrew Curra, by the way we're reading about this, the way he acted. But we didn't get killed. So
I'm glad, because then we wouldn't have this podcast.
No, so. We wouldn't. There were no podcasts at all back then. So,
that's true.
But there were a lot of like these little clubs. And yeah, I didn't find myself going to like Italian clubs. Like, I don't think they're Italian clubs. I think they're like dance clubs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Dance clubs. Like
Vinnie Wombats. And,
you know. Exactly. Exactly.
And like Goodfellas. Goodfellas is a good example of maybe what New York was really like in the late 70s, early 80s. All the coke.
Sure.
Have you seen Goodfellas?
Yes, okay. I have. I didn't say I understood it, but I've seen it.
It's a good, the book covers a lot more. Wise Girls.
Okay. I do recommend go for the book then.
But yeah, so April, I mean, I'm not really sure what April was doing with her life. We don't really have too much. There's a lot of missing stuff.
She was only 19, though. Listen, she was only 19.
Yeah.
You know, she went to school until she finished at age 18. And then I think she was, you know, she attracted Andrew Curro's attention. And so what was she doing? She was fucking around, living at home and dating this big deal.
But she wasn't totally living at home because she would go live with an aunt.
Right.
Or she would live with other people. And her main source of income, as you pointed out, is coming from her dad who lived out in California.
Right.
Who, I mean, so April, I don't know, just April was on her own, I guess. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, which is unfortunately, it's a sad but, you know, often very repeated story, I feel like.
You mean missing dad?
Missing dad, living on your own. I don't know. It sounds like April was sort of floundering at times.
I mean, there's not that much information about her. I couldn't even find a photo.
Yeah, I didn't find a photo either.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure.
Well, exactly. What I'm thinking of is like April's stepmother testified that she had a close relationship with April, mm-hmm. but this must be a stepmother in California.
Yeah.
You know, so how close could they have been?
I mean, maybe the, you know, Easter and Christmas type of thing. I'm not
right.
Sure. So yeah, so she vanished like one night, you know, that night in,
September, September, 1980. Yeah.
Yeah. So she went out, and she just kind of vanished. They recovered her car, which was, was September 8th? Is that what you said?
Yep, September 8th.
Yeah. They claim, her aunt claimed that she heard April enter the house around 6 a.m.
Yeah, it was in, they said it was the early morning, it was either September 7th or early morning hours of September 8th.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that they came there to get her stuff, or you think she was alive at that point? Or
I don't think so.
Yeah, like, I wonder, like, what that was all about, because they did not take her jewelry
or her clothes. Clothing. Yeah.
Not to say she didn't have anything really that expensive. There was a diamond necklace that we knew about, or a pendant.
Yep. But I would have thought they would have taken her stuff to make it seem like she left, not because they wanted her stuff.
That's true. I'm surprised they didn't like leave some type of note. Like, I'm out of here.
Exactly.
You suck. But it also seems like the type of thing that maybe April would do from time to time, where she just like vanishes. I got that impression anyway.
See, I did too. I think we both got the same impression, but we're sort of dancing around it. Yeah.
Yeah. She seems like a normal girl who just kind of got involved with bad people.
The wrong people. Yeah.
And what really kind of stands out to me with this entire case is there's really no genuine motive for killing her
outside of information outside of the fact that like there is some belief that she was going to testify against Andrew Curro.
But was that proven? Like was no. It really going towards as far as testifying? I just feel like this, she's a kid. And I mean, unless like the police cornered her and they're like, look, we found you with this little bit of coke. We're going to put you in prison. You better testify.
And if they didn't, we should make a movie about that. It sounds great.
It sounds all right. Yeah.
Yeah. I would watch it.
They find her car. I wish we knew what kind of car. Abandoned on Rockaway Parkway, which is not far from where we live.
Not at all.
So Rockaway Parkway is basically goes from Nassau County into Queens. And so I'm going to describe Snake Road, which is where I believe they would have
dumped her body. Okay.
It's all swamps over there, believe it or not. And all right, so I'm gonna throw a few landmarks your way, and you're gonna be like, I don't know what you're talking about. So
probably
I'm gonna start with large landmarks. Are you familiar with the Costco in Lawrence? That's the biggest one.
Okay, now I know that there is a Costco in Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge and everything. I don't recommend going there. If you're going to go to a Costco, go to the other one. And all right, so you don't know Costco's batting cages, which I'm going to say you have no idea, but there's a Lowe's. Are you familiar with the Lowe's that's in Lawrence?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There's a Lowe's and a Stop and Shop supermarket.
Sure.
Okay, you know that spot, right? When I was a kid, that was a huge toy store called Playland. Believe it or not.
Wow.
And I believe there's a movie theater there as well. So if you go further towards the airport, you get this one light. And it's like, if you look to the right, it's just kind of an ominous street. And if you go down that street, it will take you into Rosedale. And it's kind of like a shortcut. If you wanted to, for whatever reason, go from that location to the Green Acres Mall, if you have your bodyguards with you.
Okay.
And you could really cut through and get to like the Green Acres Mall in like 10 minutes instead of going all the way back.
As soon as you said the airport, I knew where we were. Okay.
So I don't know if you've ever taken this road. In the heavy rain, it floods. It's called Snake Road. You know, that's what the locals call it because it is very snaky. If you go at night, it's poor lighting.
I think I have been on this road before.
There are mattresses on the side. There are TVs just thrown in the swamp.
I would like to retract my previous statement. I have never been on this road.
It's, for all intents and purposes, it's disgusting. And if you were to like break down there, I would call for a helicopter because you're in for
nothing
a lot
else
of fun.
Is coming
it's
for
awful.
Me.
Yeah. It's awful. Yeah. But they've made it a little bit better. So long story short, this is a place that's come up in a number of books where they would dump bodies, like the mob or the mafia, if they're Italian.
Mm.
And
thanks for the clarification.
And it's known. And this was one of those things I was going to go down a rabbit hole. I just didn't have a chance to do it with Newsday. Because I remember as a kid, all the time, bodies being found there. All the time. Maybe not all the time. Maybe in my head, I thought it was all the time.
But and it had just to be barred like you for life. Yeah.
Six times at least. You know? Okay. And if you do searches, you do find stuff, but you can't find any isolated incidents outside of a year and a half ago where they found a torso.
Right. Which is remarkable, I'm just saying.
But growing up, when you're driving down this road, you think, huh, this would be a good spot to dump a body. You really would. It's disgusting. And it's weird, too, because you get through and you get this kind of very Queens suburb. You know, Queens meaning it's a little bit more rough around the edges. No,
sure.
No disrespect to Rosedale. And you end up and you're legitimately in Queens and it just feels like it. Anyway, that's where I think her body was dumped. There's no doubt about it. That's local. They dumped her car right down the street. I'm assuming it's probably where Playland was.
Yeah.
Or whatever name it was. They probably dumped it in a huge parking field. And they took her body, dumped it there on their way to like Valley Stream or something.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
That tracks. That makes sense.
So let's see. We don't know exactly the details because her body was never found. So we don't. So a lot of it is coming from what people talk about.
Right.
Which means it's probably half bullshit.
Right.
Like when they're cutting up the body.
Well, right. So they said, right when they're cutting up the body. Yeah. So they said that, what did they say that they that they thought that April got upset when Andrew showed up at the club with another woman. Mm-hmm. And Andrew became afraid that she might spill information he had given her about the armored car robbery that he had participated in and then would later get sent to prison for. During the trial, his brother, Gerard, testified that Andrew Caro had said he killed April by strangling her, cutting up the body, putting the pieces into bags, and then dumping them. The brother quoted Caro as saying, and this is in the trial, "The head was the most difficult to take off. The arms were easier, and the intestines came out like big spaghetti."
I mean, we've all seen that type of thing. It definitely paints a picture. It's very disgusting.
It's very disgusting.
In my notes, of course, it reminds me of our Bill Bruins losing spaghetti after they found the body of his.
Yes, I agree. And then police said Curl later bragged about drinking his girlfriend's blood.
Do you think it's kind of like, I'm going back to the spaghetti for a second. He was just like, yeah, knob's easy. And intestines came out. You see, I think he called it spaghetti. Where he's like, you know, like a big pasta. Like a big rigatoni.
That's a good point. Would he have said spaghetti?
It was like a big, I don't know, an angel head. No, spaghetti. Like, what? And, you know, he's like, you know, fixing his tie over and over again, straightening it.
Right. I can imagine it. I can see this. You're painting a very vivid picture for me.
He does that thing that people do to, like, you know, put their sleeves out to, like, you know, reset their shoulders for their coat. Like,
yes. You know,
not for nothing, but it was more like a spaghetti.
I think we should make you do the rest of this podcast with an Italian accent.
With a side order of a delicious mozzarella. Nobody makes a good mozzarella like a nana. No.
All right.
So moving on. It's just an awful way to describe it. And
it sounds like an awful death, too.
I also have to hope that I say this about a lot of the victims, all of them, actually. You just hope the death itself was quick.
Yes.
Because, all right, if you're doing all this disgusting stuff, like removing, like, no human, nobody should be removing intestines or cutting off heads. If you're doing that, you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. And nobody should be doing that. Nobody, you know, but at the same time, if the person's dead, at least they're not suffering at this point. It's just you're participating in something atrocious.
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely atrocious. And the only upside I can find about this, actually, is that it wasn't the husband. It was the boyfriend.
Yeah, it was the boyfriend did it. But allegedly, because there's no body. Allegedly. We don't know. I mean, even like, you know, like a big spaghetti. We don't know. And I would just think if you're doing all this, isn't there some evidence? I mean, there was no DNA back then, of course.
There was no DNA, and they probably didn't keep, you know, anything around to test for it later because it was so early. They probably didn't think about that.
Carl was also heavily connected with the local, probably law enforcement, of course, organized crime, and the Gottis.
Yes.
Which you might have heard of.
Once or twice.
Oof. Are the Gottis still around?
That's a great question.
Yeah, like, who's, like, the current family of the week?
Oh, I don't know. And if I did know, I don't know if I would be stupid enough to say their name. But I don't know.
I'm going to ask AI.
Oh, ask AI.
There's Gotti, and what was the other family? There was,
You're asking the woman who wants you to explain the mob to me.
Well, we got Gotti. There's Gotti and other families. I don't even know what I'm asking. Do you ever ask a question that you would never ask a human being and you just...
Yes.
And it's AI, so you hope that it understands you.
Yes. I think I asked one of those questions in this case.
Who are the current families?
It's going to tell you that they can't tell you.
No.
Oh, yeah. I asked him why. I asked AI why Gerard testified against his brother. That's what I asked.
Poorly. There's a bunch. Poorly. Yeah. A major active Italian-American families today are the five families of New York: Bonanno, Colombo, Gambino, Genovese, and Lucchese. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Well, Bonanno was big back then too. Yeah.
I don't know if that's, they sound like lovely people. Yeah. I mean, I don't mess around with this kind of stuff, but, yeah, it's, I, you know, who would know? This is a Judah. So I bet he would know.
Yeah.
So there's obviously ongoing crime. And,
right. You know, it still exists. Crime. We're still going on. Yeah.
Maybe it's more like Ukrainians and Russians. We know, you know what I mean? And Chinese.
I think we're just biased because in our neighborhood, there are so many Ukrainians and Russians.
And I mean, if you do go over to, you know, Crown Heights and stuff, there is kind of, you know, there is, or there are organizations that are Jewish and faith-based in that sense. So everybody has their cliques, everybody has their sects and stuff like that. So
yeah,
everybody has their corner of the city, I guess.
So you think we've got the Jewish mafia going now?
Yeah. I mean, around here. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
they're a little bit more organized, you know, no pun intended, you know, because, and this isn't really an attack on them as much as, cause I think what they do is actually halfway decent. I think some of them are schmucks, but the people who are, they're doing this, like Hatzolah type of thing.
Yep.
They're driving around in their like BMWs and Mercedes with the police lights. And it's like, look, man, like you took a 6-hour class and you're cutting across lanes of traffic. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you're getting involved in things, but essentially you were just a volunteer. But I think that an organization like that is good as all, you know, also. So
we like the mafia we have now. Nope, not mafia. Mob. Damn it. I'm going to get it by the end of this recording and then it'll be gone. And someone will ask me in 2 days what I think the difference is between the mob and the mafia. And I'll say, I have no fucking clue.
There must be a word. Like, is there a Yiddish word for mafia or something like that? Is it going to give me anything?
Probably not. Unless it literally.
Or.
Oh. What if that was like a really bad thing to say and we just said it?
Ganef? Oh my
God. Oh.
Or mispoke. That sounds more
Russian, but.
Yeah, mispoke. I wish them the best. I think they do good work. So
I wish them the best as well. But
now we're going to go 46 years in the past where most people are dead.
Yes.
And. So this is a weird case again because there is no family.
There's no family, really.
There's no body.
There's no body. And in New York, there's only 5 cases that I could find without bodies where people were convicted.
So this is one of those things where I think because he was connected with Gotti, they were like, we have to try our best to make an example out of him. Right?
Yeah, I definitely think that was the idea. It also didn't help that he, you know, committed that armed robbery of robbery of an armored truck. Sorry, I keep getting that confused. Mm-hmm.
$1 million.
Article, yeah.
I looked at it very quickly, but all right. So that is about 1/5 of the heist from the Lufthansa. Do you know the Lufthansa?
No.
So in the movie Goodfellas, they have this huge heist, right? It's like this somewhat elaborate heist. And that's the Lufthansa. And that was, I think, just under $6 million. And at the time, we're talking like $30, $35 million worth. And that was at the time the largest heist in the country, in history. So $1 million is not nothing, you know, and it's $1 million in cash that was taken.
Right. So no taxes on that. So that's great.
you're free and clear, just free and clear. And you have to wonder like, where did that, I mean, we know where that money went right up their noses. Probably.
At least a good part of that. It was the '80s. Yeah.
So One of the things about the New York Times, which is weird, I think all newspapers of the time, they used to give the exact address of suspects.
Right.
And I think that that is just great. I think it's great for nowadays for us to be able to go and take and look up the address where one of the suspects lived and see that, you know, I mean, for Brooklyn, it's a very tiny, it's a relatively tiny house. And it's only worth $747,000, which is kind of low for Brooklyn.
This is true. By the way, did you ever look up if anyone died in my house?
No, but I keep thinking about it and it keeps coming up. And I have, okay. I have to do that. I will.
We want to know.
But also don't get freaked out if they do, because a lot of people, you know, people die in their houses.
Oh, no. Someone definitely. Listen, my house is definitely haunted. It's fine. I won't get freaked out.
I used to live in a haunted house. This house, I don't think is haunted, but that previous house was, no doubt in my mind, creepy.
Yeah.
That's a whole other episode.
That's a good one.
No, we should do is disclose those. I'll disclose my old address.
And okay.
Talk about the death that happened, because I do know about a death that did occur. A 17-year-old girl in the garage overdosed.
Oh, no. On
heroin, yeah. It's a crazy story. And now it became this like big thing for the period, for the area. And now there's like some foundation or something in the girl's name.
Okay. And then for my house, if you look it up, and we can disclose that too.
I'm gonna look up your old house also.
Oh yeah, look up both houses.
The one down the road. Hopefully we'll find something in there, because then we can both disclose it.
Yes, that would be great.
Because you have a weird story in your old house where you used to get mail.
Yeah.
Christmas time or something, you would get a photo.
Every year we got a photo from these same people and none of us knew who they were. And then when we moved, the mail followed us here too.
Oh, really? Somebody's messing with you.
I think so.
That's one of your kids' friends.
I don't think my kids have friends that are that old enough to have done that.
It's a teacher. You got on their bad side.
Maybe. I did tell off a teacher yesterday.
Did you really tell off a teacher yesterday?
Yes, I really did.
Thank God.
And then today I apologized for it.
Yeah. I'm so done with the school district because I'm done, right?
You're done. I know, because you have one and done. Yeah.
So I have people like from the board and everything saying, hey, can we post about the upcoming budget thing on your group? I'm like, no. I don't think that's a great idea. I don't want to side with it. Because I'm voting no. my taxes are really? High. Yeah, of course. My taxes are high enough.
Yeah.
And on top of it, they won't let my kid use his MacBook. Are you kidding me? Instead, he has to use this like crappy other computer.
You know, so I made the mistake of asking to go back on the PTA this year.
Oh,
it was a huge mistake. And then I broke my ankle and haven't, you know, couldn't go to any of the meetings. And then, I had one job. It was one job. There was this one meeting I was supposed to go to. And, last week I pulled up outside, the middle school, because that was where the meeting was supposed to be. And I didn't see anyone that I recognized or any cars that I recognized. And the middle school was like deserted. And so I texted the group and was like, hey, it's 3:30 at the middle school, right?
Yeah.
Listen to the response. The text I got was, it was yesterday at Ogden.
That was 3 months ago.
Right. Thanks for showing up. So.
Yeah, well, try to be a male going to a PTA meeting in our district and having everybody look at me like, what's this guy's problem?
Right. Because if you're here, you're clearly here to cause trouble.
Right. Like you want to do bad things. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I got that whole vibe. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm gone.
I don't blame you. Hey, do you think they had a PTA that like the mafia belonged to?
Harper Valley PTA. They made a movie about it. I mean, okay. A series of movies. Do you like? I think that the PTA is a form of a mafia. Not
I do.
Not mafia, but you know, I think like
mob.
What's that Yiddish word again? It's yeah. No, it's really Yeah, I mean, it's very clicky. And the ones who are top tier, because there are a couple of people who are top tier.
Oh, yeah.
And thankfully, I get along with them, you know?
Do you get along with the un-get-alongable people?
Really? Like, well, I'll say her nickname. I'll say her mom, Kissy's mom.
Oh, no, I think she's lovely.
Yeah, I get along with her very well.
Yeah.
But she also, she knows that I'm part
of my phone also, by the way.
But I also have a vowel at the end of my last name. So I think that's very helpful. I was also close friends with her ex-husband. So, and I took her side.
Nice. So you've really sealed the deal there.
No, but she's a good person. She's a decent person. She's all right.
Yeah. She seems very lovely. I think she seems lovely.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what happens now? Her youngest graduates. What do you do now?
I don't know.
Because she's such a part of the PTA.
I know.
Like, get the hell out of here. You're done. Right?
Yeah. Think.
Like, you wouldn't be. Would you be a part of the PTA after all are out?
Oh, I am done. I am done. This was the last failed attempt at one more year, and it clearly wasn't meant to be this year.
You know what you should have rubbed in? Like, it was yesterday. It's like, oh, man, I brought Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I should have said, or Starbucks or something.
And yeah, one of these big, like, Starbucks cup, things of coffee.
God, only by the grace of God did I not, because I am that type of person who thinks that I'll try to buy people's affection. With
we're all diabetic. What are you doing? You're trying to kill us. Give me one with sprinkles. All right, so April's body was never found.
April's body was never found. And we have no idea where Andrew Caro is.
Why would he say that he drank his girlfriend's blood?
I imagine there was a lot of cocaine involved.
That's right. Yeah. Forgot about
it. You know, and with all that cocaine, maybe he did drink her blood.
Maybe he ran out of cocaine. He's like, she does a lot of coke, right?
Yeah, right.
I drink it, maybe I get a little zip zip.
I don't know. It was weird. I mean, you know, this is a weird case. Also, you know, Andrew's already in prison by the time that they try him for the other, her murder. Mm-hmm. 'Cause he's already in prison for the why can't I think of the word? The heist. Thank you. Yeah. The heist.
The million.
He's already
bucks.
In prison. A million buck heist. He's already there.
No, it's weird. We never learn. Like, did the money get returned? Did they find the money? Did they see that he bought like a Lamborghini? And it's like the Lamborghini now gets auctioned off, and that money goes back. Like, I never learn about it. I never hear about that type of thing. How do you retrieve your money?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't, I guess. In 1990, Andrew filed an appeal and lost. That's for the murder. In 1995, Andrew alleged that... Oh, this was weird. Did you see this one? He alleged that the defendants deliberately altered the transcript of his criminal trial.
But they admitted to it, right?
Yes, but they admitted to it. It was changed from strangled or killed by any other means to strangled or otherwise killed, which, woof,
makes
huge
a big deal.
Difference yeah. there. Yeah, huge difference. Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Scott would know, right?
would know.
That's like one of those things where somebody would have to break in and change that.
It is, or maybe it's possible. You know what I imagine is the court stenographer just shorthanded it while it was being typed up.
That's a whole science within itself, that whole...
Stenography?
Yeah, like, I don't get it. They're playing a little piano. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
I once had a patient who was a court stenographer.
I know it's shorthand and everything, but I just don't... I guess I don't understand the philosophy behind... How are you making sentences with, like, what... 10 buttons?
Right. It's crazy. It's weird.
I mean, I know, like, defendant and, you know, all that type of stuff is one word, and it doesn't have to be the same name over and over again. But these people, they're just going on and on. They're looking around like they're just, you know, they're like Stevie Wonder on the, like, synthesizer.
This is true. And now that we're actually discussing court stenography, it occurs to me how simply this error could have been made.
Yeah, because it's up for interpretation, perhaps. Or yes. Or you get some guy up there, he's like, yeah, this, this. And it's like, all right, how does this person translate this idiot to paper?
And I have heard that it's referred to as like an art, not a science. Hmm.
So I wonder if there can be bias in stenography.
I think there, that could be a fascinating.
I'm writing a little note. Like, stenography. Is that the right word?
Yeah,
stenography. Bias. Sounds like.
That sounds like a great dissertation for someone out there. I was about
to say, I'm like, that's a paper right there that I think that's to write.
Yeah. That would be fascinating.
I would love to see, like, I would love to compare, like, a video or audio recording versus what has been transcribed. That would be kind of interesting.
That would be very interesting. Okay, YouTube search later. Note to self. Someone somewhere must have gotten.
I do want to mention, this is a little bit of a side note, but it is fully relevant to this podcast. And that's, did you hear about the murder conviction overturned by South Carolina Supreme Court for Alex Murdaugh?
No, stop it.
This happened 2 hours ago.
I did not. Okay, I feel better that it happened 2 hours ago.
Yeah, like when I learned about, I was about to text you, but I'm like, eh.
I'll
tell you on air. But it's about 2 hours ago. Everybody's covering it. It's legitimate. And the Supreme Court throws out the conviction. Because all of this stuff came out where I don't know too much about it. I literally watched like a 10-minute video on it.
And
the person who was defending was against him, not an attorney, basically brought in so much evidence to that was not applicable to the murders. And we learned that that person was selling a book. We learned that this person. It was just heavily biased towards painting a picture that had nothing to do with the actual crime. And I'm like, holy cow, this is, it's going and it's going to go back to trial. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
So I don't know too much about the case to begin with. For whatever reason, I learned a little bit about it and I know there was a documentary about it.
I watched that documentary, but it was so many years ago that I watched it.
But I also don't know. Does that mean he gets out now until trial or is it like house arrest? I mean, if they're overturning it, then his conviction is gone. They have no right to hold him as far as unless there's other crimes.
Oh,
I just don't know. I don't know. But that's happening right now.
Oh, that's great. I was going to talk about the summer of 2006, but that's much more exciting. 2006. Yes, because remember, then there's that other weird charge against Kuro. Explain this one to me.
Wait, I have to get to that part of the notes. You threw that back at me.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. I think it's where I said I didn't really understand it. So
yeah,
he was charged with violating the prison disciplinary rule, which prohibits inmates from receiving compensation for providing legal assistance. So does that mean Andrew Kuro provided legal assistance or did Andrew Kuro facilitate
That's what I imagine. I imagine that Andrew Kuro took the money and then asked his lawyer a question.
All right. If that's a fact, like if Andrew Kuro's like, eight Tony, I got this guy. He's all right. he's all right. And, he has this legal question. What do you think he should do? And then he's like, well, what I would do is appeal it, blah, blah, blah. And he goes back, he tells it to the person. He's like, hey, how can I help you? He's like, I wouldn't say no to $100. So the mother gets a money order for $100 to thank him. And this is all hypothetical, of course. And he accepts that and it goes into his, I guess, what is that called? The account that you have?
Oh,
where you buy honey buns.
It's not a mercenary. It's a, commissary. I know what you're saying.
It's a similar to that word.
It's a commissary.
You got it. They have honey buns and Slim Jims and all that kind of stuff. It's really good for you. And so that I think is, sounds like that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, too.
So he's like, yeah, he asked his, like, expensive attorney.
Right, then, exactly. That's what I think it was. I think he was trying to ask, you know, to blow that up the pole. Blow that up the pole? No, that's not the right thing to say, but that's what it came out as.
That's blown up the pole.
That sounds like something else, doesn't it? Yeah.
It sounds like a good time for someone, not me.
Not me.
We're not alleging anything.
Right.
With Andrew Curl. But yeah, that's what it sounds like. And I think that sounds like bullshit to me. Like if, but at the same time, they might've just been looking kind of like, all right, why is he getting $100 from this inmate's mother? That doesn't right. make sense. He's right. like, yeah, I asked my attorney and blah, blah, blah. And I almost called him the dean, but the warden maybe just doesn't like him and threw the book at him. And it's like, no. And what happened? What was the outcome?
He got, what did he get? He got, let's see. What did I say? He violated, I don't know. I think they added some time onto his sentence. Hmm.
So that was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh shit. That was.
Yeah. 20 years ago.
And I forget how old we are.
Oh yeah. My God. Reminded every day. Damn. This is going to bring in another topic that I would love to discuss in the near future. And I used to watch this show called 60 Days In, which is kind of it's a somewhat reality show where they throw these inmates who are not.
Criminals. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And it's lightly entertaining. But what it really got me to start thinking about is the costs of commissary. Have you ever gone down the rabbit hole of how much commissary costs the, I'm going to call them patient, but the prisoners.
Prisoners.
It's very expensive. Sometimes it's like four times regular retail. And you have to wonder, like, why?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, in all seriousness, why is a honey bun, which is like, what, $1.50 somewhere? Why is that $6? Or, you know, or ramen noodles? Why is it like $2 each when it's you can probably buy it for like I don't know, 50 cents or something,
right?
So I think that so I went down that rabbit hole a long time ago where I was looking at the different costs of commissary, and it's shocking how expensive things are. And sometimes they have to buy their own shampoo and toothpaste and toothbrush, which is kind of interesting to me. Like,
you know, I know several former prisoners, and mm-hmm. And if we ever wanted more information on that, that is certainly something.
Yeah,
because
I genuinely think I'm not much of a social justice warrior, but I think sure. that people should be treated fairly. And I think that by, you know, hiking these prices up when there is no other option is just unfair. It's inhumane, I would even argue.
Yeah.
Especially when there's such a limited amount of funds to begin with.
Right.
But that being said, I also went down the rabbit hole right before we started the podcast. There's this trend on TikTok where I don't know where they get it. I don't know how these things exist, but somehow prisoners get access to phones, and they will streams of them cooking in prison with the commissary food. And there are literal like cooking shows in prison.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. People making like nacho platters and being very extremely creative, doing things like having a D-sized battery and connecting it to aluminum foil to make a hot plate, stuff like that.
Yeah, apparently it's not so tough to get a phone in prison.
Which, you know, goes against my social justice warrior side, which doesn't exist. And that's, you know, why is it so easy?
Right.
You're not supposed to have it. So anyway, but I just thought I'd bring those up. Those are just kind of like the kind of things I look at while I'm looking at body cam footage.
That is interesting. I have another Andrew Curl question, by the way.
Sure.
So do you think, okay, so I'm looking at my little list of people that have been convicted without a body.
Sure.
And I didn't do a deep dive on everyone, but one of them was.
This is only New York.
Right. Yes, this is only New York. Yeah. There was a much longer list of all the states, so I just stayed away from that.
Only one Italian.
Oh, exactly. There was this guy, Robert Bierenbaum, who was a licensed pilot. He took a 2-hour flight in a Cessna 172 from Essex County, New Jersey, over the Atlantic Ocean on the day that he supposedly murdered this woman, Gail, who I believe was his wife. He failed to mention this fact to authorities during their initial questioning. So that was like the second person that they ever, sentenced without finding a dead body.
Well, so, he threw it out of the plane, right?
I mean, well, that's the idea. Yeah. So I guess my question is, if Andrew Curro were either not involved with the mafia, or if this case were presented today, do you think they still would have convicted him of the second degree murder without a body?
Well, nowadays it's so different, right? There's so much more tracking. You run to like Trader Joe's and like we could see that you were Trader Joe's for 20 minutes and then you went to Chase Bank and then you headed home. You know, like we could, that data is in your phone. And if it's on your phone, it's in your car. And if it's not in your car, there are cameras everywhere. So nowadays it's just different. The way we can, what is that called when people get sick, the tracing?
Contact tracing.
I think that it's a form of that. It's like you're literally mapping out where this person likely went.
And yes.
So nowadays, I just feel as though it's just so different, unfortunately.
See, I was thinking more of the mafia aspect and how much of his sentence was due to the fact that people knew who he was associated with.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were making an example of him.
Yeah.
But we don't have a couple things. We don't know, or at least I don't think we've learned where Andrew was. Like, what's his argument, like, that he wasn't with her? Well, where were you?
Right.
There's not a lot of information about this case.
There really isn't, and I tried hard.
Normally when that happens, I think that has a lot to do with the government being involved on a different level.
Okay.
So it's possible that this entire situation got blown up and she wasn't supposed to get killed. And this guy was like a big nobody, but they didn't want it to blow up their move in on Gotti, because we'll learn that a few years later, of course, they would take down John Gotti.
Of course.
So I wonder if they kind of weighed those options, kind of like, look, we have plants in the Gotti family and we have to like stifle everything. We have to get this, you know, put this idiot in jail. You know, don't look for the body. I don't know. It seems as though there's really not that much information about this particular case.
There really isn't. And I can't find where he is now, which, you know, makes me crazy.
You found a picture of him, which I think.
Oh, so that's amazing. No. So oh, that's not him. That is someone with the same last name, same name as. Same last name.
But isn't it a mugshot?
It is a mugshot.
No, of the R. Andrew Curro.
No. Couldn't find a mugshot. Anyone out there has a mugshot, send it to me.
I was reading on some Reddit thread, and they were like, I can't even find a picture of the guy or the girl.
Yeah.
For all we know, the guy didn't even exist. I mean, this whole scenario might not have even have existed, because we also... I did this little bit of a search when you brought up that April's family owned, what was the name of that place?
That was a car place.
Sorry.
It was.
It's here somewhere. Hold on.
It was Great Bear Auto.
Yeah, Great Bear Auto, which from what I understand is a really big... like, I've seen them play. I don't think I've ever gone to one. But everything, I did this big search on the current owner. Her name is Audra Forden, and she is the founder and CEO of Women Auto No, and she's a lifelong mechanic, and she took it over from her grandfather, who I cannot find his name. Like, that's what's weird. The people who founded the Great Bear Auto Repair and Body Shop in 1933, no one has names.
Oh.
They're called the founders, and they don't go into it. But Audra Fornin, I mean, she could be Italian, I guess, but I mean, she's, wait, what is Alice? What was Alice's last name?
April.
I'm Alice. Ernst. Sounds like a German name. I don't know. I cannot find an Ernst having anything to do with that company.
Right.
So I don't know. It just seems kind of another thing that's kind of doesn't make sense.
I'm back to where is he? Because he was, you know, he should be around 73 today.
Which he could absolutely be alive. It's only 20 years older than me. You know, it's like, it's not that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that old.
I don't think it's that old either. All right, then. How does that, that make you feel better?
Yes. But so yeah, Andrew Curro, 73. You know he's in New York, right?
Well, I would think so.
These guys don't leave New York unless they have to.
Well, which is why I thought Wisconsin would be a great place for him.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking for someone. I am just rabbit-holing the shit out of it is what I did to see where anyone with the last name Curro was. Committed a crime. Yeah.
And every single thing I look up, it's like Gambino crime family. The last seen at the Brooklyn Disco Scandals. You know, I couldn't even find a picture of Scandals.
Yeah, that's a disappointment. Because I really wanted to see what it looks like on the outside and the inside, honestly.
Yeah, it's very odd that we don't have. I don't know.
Oh, this whole thing must have been just a ploy to take down Andrew Curro. I see. The Fed set it up.
What if he was a Fed?
Oh, and this was how he got out of.
That's crazy. That's a crazy theory right there.
Oh, there you go.
The girl didn't even exist. Or maybe she was a Fed, too. And it was almost like, we're going to say you died. You're going to go back to your old life and you're going to go back to your old life.
Oh, that's OK. That's our theory. I like it. That's a
good theory. I mean, how else do you get out?
Right.
You have to get killed. I don't know. All I know is there's not that much information about this particular case. But it seems as though, like there's one YouTube video. I think you watched it.
I did watch it. And it's, yeah, it's I did watch it. And
the guy didn't seem like he even remembered him.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he remembered him.
He was older, too.
It seemed like a stretch. He said Andrew was a young punk. I had no clue he would get involved in murder. I didn't appreciate what I was hearing about Andrew early on. April was just a young girl hanging around with two guys who wore fancy clothes. I could see something strange going on, so I backed away.
Yeah, I mean, also, where's his family? Right? I mean,
I don't know.
Mom, dad, all the cousins. I mean, if you're a New Yorker, a name like Curro, I don't know if I know anyone with that last name.
I don't either. Maybe they took all the Curros out.
What I find that is weird is when I type in Andrew Curro mugshot, like nothing comes up.
Right.
You know, the New York Times and so this UPI case, that's about it. And shows people who are clearly not him.
So, right. Oh, I had another conspiracy theory that I forgot about.
Oh.
Maybe Gotti framed Andrew because he was pissed off his profile got brought into the limelight when he did the armored car robbery.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening, especially if, I mean, do you think all the Curros just got killed by Gotti?
Relocated.
It's
not
really worth it. You know, it's,
yeah.
I mean, it also seems like Andrew was super low level. It's not like he was, like, I don't really even understand what he was doing aside from he was stealing cars, right?
Apparently he was really good at it. He was sort of a sociopath, I thought. Not to get all diagnosed. Yeah.
He's kind of a Henry Hill character.
Yes.
Except Henry Hill was a part of the bigger heist in Goodfellas.
Right.
Or Wise Guys. Did I ever tell you I bought a Henry Hill painting once?
No.
This is in the earlier days of eBay. was like 2000 or something. And Henry Hill was selling his paintings on eBay for like, I don't know, like $50. And it's like a little watercolor painting.
Oh.
And yeah, I still have it around here. And there's a picture of him holding the painting as like the certificate of authenticity. And he signed it. And that's it.
That was just a good story, Mark.
It's not that, you know, it's not that great of a story, but, you know, it's one of those kind of weird thing that these guys do. It's like somebody like Henry Hill, obviously he got out of prison and this is what he was doing for money. You would think also, like, if you're involved with the Gottis or something like that, wouldn't you be doing something a little bit more
exciting?
Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe he got scared straight. He just,
yeah,
became like a priest or something. But at 73, it's very likely he is still alive, or maybe 50-50.
Yeah.
But there's like no record of, I can't find anything about him in prison or what prison.
I can't find anything.
So he just doesn't exist.
No, he doesn't exist. So if we have a listener that knows anything and wants to drop us a secret line.
Yeah, you were Kuro infinite. In New York. We'd love to see your family photos.
Yeah.
if you're from the Gotti family, we are big fans.
Huge fans. Love you. Know everything about you.
Nope.
I mean, nothing. Nope. Nope. Know nothing about you, which is true in my heart. So
I love these guys. I love these guys. And, but yeah, it's an interesting story. But I don't really understand the motive outside of her just knowing a little bit about the fact that he was like stealing cars and it was involved with the heist. And, I don't know if that really meant that he had to kill her. But you know what? What you brought up is that she was possibly being turned. And if that's the case and he found out, that's one of the reasons why.
Why he had to kill her.
But it does stink of Fed to me.
It stinks of Fed to me, too. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that.
I agree.
I don't think he exists. His probably name is like Eric Leibowitz or something like that.
Nice. He probably lives in our town.
Yeah. Rabbi Leibowitz.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for getting together today to discuss this case and so much more.
Yeah. We did manage to cover a world of topics today. Yeah,
well, I mean, got to keep this all interesting. And I got to do my Italian accent.
It was good. It was good.
Yes, mozzarella. Mozzarella. Yeah, it's just one of those things. But yeah, thank you so much. And now people should head on over to thehusbanddidit.com and look for us on Facebook. There's more and more episodes. If you have any interest in, you know, a case that maybe is popping up for you, feel free to reach out to us.
We'd love some suggestions. Yeah.